You're with the Kitchen Bang Bang Law here on CKUT 90.3 FM. This is Vince, your host, and I'm joined in the studio by Jason Blackbird Selman, who has served the Montreal art scene for more than a decade as both poet and trumpet player. He has self-published several chapbooks over the years, culminating in his first published work, The Freedom I Stole, published by Cumulus Press in 2008. He's also served as co-editor of the poetry anthology Talking Book, which chronicles the writings of the one-of-a-kind musical ensemble Community Vibe Collective, of which he is a founding member. Jason is also part of the dynamic live hip-hop group Nomadic Massive, which we just heard. He's the creator and producer of the Intimate Sky Performance Series, which features select members of both Community and Nomadic Massive in enlightening and an intimate small group configurations. So welcome to the show.
Good afternoon.
How's it going?
It's going okay. I had to run up to get here, but...
It's always uphill, too,
yeah,
when you come here.
I tried to come downhill, but that didn't work. So I had to go the other way.
Yeah. You're appearing at the Howl Arts Collective as a solo artist.
Yeah.
What have you got planned for that?
Well, I'm just going to do a solo set of poetry and trumpet and... That's something I enjoy because I don't get to do it often, and it's always a challenge to kind of captivate an audience for that long. To do one poem or three poems a night within the context of Community or Nomadic, I know how to do that. But I feel always blessed and honored when people ask me to feature and do longer sets because for me it's the next challenge for me as a poet to be able to hold the audience for that long and prepare myself and do something that warrants me to be really prepared.
Do you get much time to work on new writing in your life? Because you seem to have a lot of things on the go.
You have to make time.
Yeah,
you have to make time. I think it goes in waves. There are waves where I feel like I'm not writing a lot. I think. Right after I finished the last book, I kind of just burnt out, and I took a year or so to just not do anything. And then trying to get back into it, I kind of felt like I had writer's block, but I think it was more just how I was managing my time. And also the stress of near the end of the book, I was writing stuff to put in the book.
Oh, yeah, that's a lot of pressure.
It's a lot of pressure because you're trying to hit home runs all the time, and that's not easy because not everything you write can be great. And I know that if I'm going to write 10 poems, maybe three of them are going to be something that I really like, or five. Not everything is going to be something that I like that I'm going to want to publish or perform. So I think in the last 6 months to a year, it's gotten better, and I'm starting to get back into a zone. And I think it's also just about not being so judgmental, just writing for writing's sake, and knowing that somewhere in there you're going to catch something that's good. But the more I do it, the more consistent I am, the more likely I am to get something that I like.
It's important, I think, to have to be able to walk away from a work after you've written it for a while and then come back in, you know, a matter of weeks or months and sort of reassess it with the once it's sort of cooled off from the initial...
Totally. Yeah. I mean, there's certain things where you write it and you know that it's good. You know, and those ones are special.
Yeah.
But those don't happen every day. There's a lot of other ones that you write it, you forget that you wrote it, you lose it, you find it 6 months to a year later, and you're like, this is really good. How come I didn't treasure this at the time? What happened to it? You know? So there's a lot of that.
We were talking at one of the Thoreau Collective shows a little bit about some of the book project that you're working on. You were initially thinking of working off of the work of Bob Kaufman, and then you've decided probably you're going to expand that. Can you talk a little bit about that project?
Well, initially I planned, like you said, to do a book dedicated to Bob Kaufman. And I started doing a bit of research and started to write. And I got his biography, which is a very interesting but challenging text because it's surreal. It's like surreal vignettes, one after another after another. So there's a short bio on his life that's factual, that's really good, but that's about 5 pages. And the rest is just kind of this surreal narrative that comes and goes, you know, in it's out of order. It jumps time periods from San Francisco to New York to New Orleans, and it's a different, you know, vignettes on his life from the outside and from the inside. That it's very, very poetic and it's very beautiful. And you get a sense of the person who wrote it knew Bob, but you're also still left with that mystery. So I said to myself, I have to keep doing this, but I'm also feeling like I have to maybe include more. So what I decided to do was just expand and get a better sense of what my lineage is as a poet. And I started to think about who else are my poetic forefathers. So I put together a list, and it led me to this workshop that I did, I guess, 2 weeks ago from this Thursday on poetic roots. So just looking at who your forefathers are, who your poetic mother is, poetic father, grandparents, great-grandparents, and understanding what they mean to you. So for me, those people are like Langston Hughes, Amir Baraka, Bob Kaufman, Nikki Giovanni, The Last Poets, Skylin Kane, Felipe Luciano, Pablo Neruda. So, you know, a lot of those artists, I have a good sense of who they are, and others I have a less of a sense and I want to know more. But they're the ones that mean something to me. So I think the next book will be dedicated to those people and kind of trying to understand who they are and getting to know their work. Because I think it was also about dealing with that writer's block and saying to myself, what inspired me initially? And who inspired me initially so I could break the writer's block and be inspired? I felt like I needed to be inspired. So let me go back to those poets that inspired me, that blew my mind. Like, I remember seeing Saul Williams when he came years ago. And that just totally blew my mind and affected me so much, you know, as a writer, but also as a performer, because he was so intense. And I think I was fortunate to come about poetically, have my beginnings in an age when there was a lot of poetry in town and there was a lot of big artists from out of town who I could take influence from and inspiration from, like a Saul Williams or a Roger Bonaire, artists who, you know, would come in and feature and I would get to see who they are. So getting a different perspective on what's happening outside of Montreal. And that's really important to just kind of show you what the stakes are, what's possible.
See what the what your peers were up to, and I'm curious about the forefathers that you're interested in, because you know, say a poet like Bob Kaufman, you know, not many people even know about him. How do you come across these artists initially? Was any of it introduced to you through you know, traditional sources like schools, or did you find out about them outside of that kind of area?
It was a bit of both. My twin brothers, Joseph and David Neudorfer, they were taking a poetry class in Sejep on the beats, and they fell in love with poetry and became obsessed with it. So I wasn't in the class, but I learned a lot through osmosis from what they told me and what they learned, you know? So they got a really good sense from the teacher who taught them and taking that class. So Kaufman was one of those people that I learned about, you know, and Amir Baraka beforehand. But I think it was, Amir was the first person that I felt that I identified with, his voice. And I think the power and the anger and the politics and the coyness. But then when I met Bob Kaufman, it really made sense. Because it was broad and it was really beautiful and melodic and complex and surreal. And just certain poems just meant so much to me and made so much sense that it's like, this is what's possible. This is the kind of voice you want to have. And also doing all this research for myself and trying to understand what my lineage is, understanding that I was able to see Kaufman and take him in because of the love I had for groups like De La Soul, who had a different tinge, who were a little bit left field, a bit surreal in their own way.
Yeah.
That allowed me to be receptive to Saul Williams when he came along, when I saw him, and then Bob Kaufman. Mm. So Kaufman is the most important, but Saul Williams and De La Soul were doorways to Kaufman, because they allowed me to be receptive to surrealism, because I saw myself completely in De La, and then I saw myself in Saul Williams, and I saw myself in Amiri, but then I really, really, really resonated the most with Kaufman.
Thinking about jazz roots as well, because obviously you're also a musician, you're a trumpet player, and were you discovering poetry through some of the jazz music that you were exploring? Because I've run across spoken word recordings in the midst of a jazz album more often than not, and I'm just curious about how you feel about that relationship between the jazz tradition and the poetry tradition.
I think it really informs the way I perform. Because I think like an improviser when I'm performing a poem. And there's always more to learn. You know, I look at things like Attica Blues as an example, or, you know, Kerouac, and, you know, working with musicians, things like that, that are always there. And it, to me, it's such a wonderful mix. It makes so much sense, and it's so natural. Hmm. Because when I perform a poem, my goal is never to repeat my performance. I don't want to dial it in. I know I can do a pretty good impression of myself, and then I know I'm in trouble. Hmm. So I have to be in the moment and say, I'm open. I'm ready to change things, change my delivery, change my rhythm, change the tempo, the speed of my delivery, all these different things. Be open to those things and be in the moment. Be ready to stop on a dime. Be ready to also be open to where I am emotionally. And I always tell people, you know, perform from where you are. And I say, you know, if I'm having a bad day, you're going to know I had a bad day when I'm on stage. If I'm having a wonderful day, you're going to know I had a wonderful day. I'm going to put my emotions and where I am and what kind of day I've had in the work and transcend that and let it be part of my performance, which I think is part of improvisation as well. You know, people like Lee Morgan. I love Lee Morgan, because he's so intense and he's so there. He's not holding back, you know, or Woody Shaw or Freddie Hubbard. These people, they're going for it, you know, and they have somebody like a Woody Shaw who, you know, because of his technical virtuosity, the things that he's doing are so difficult, but there's no stress. You don't have a sense that these things are difficult, even though they are. You know, so it's about getting to that point where you're relaxed and you know, when I work with teens, I tell them, you know, you got to be off book. Be really, really off book. Because when you're off book and you know your poem, that's when you're free. Hmm. You know, and I think that's what jazz is about as well. You know, know the song inside out, you know, all 12 keys, whatever you need to do so that you can be free. You know, so all that practice and all that rehearsal, it's not just for the sake of rehearsing, but it's for the sake of being in the moment and being prepared and being receptive, like an actor, where, you know, like things like Meisner technique, where, you know, you do the lines again and again and again, and every time you do it a bit different. And the other actor has to respond to the way that you recited those lines. Improv in jazz or in poetry is exactly the same. You're responding to what's happening in the moment, even though the text might already be written. You have to respond to the moment.
That's really interesting. And of course, one of the ensembles that you play with, Community, at core is an improv unit. How did that come about? Like when you guys were first forming the group, were you just sort of blue skying and going, wow, you know, it'd be great if we had a jam group kind of thing? Like how did it coalesce?
Well, I think a lot of it falls on Jason and him having this idea of wanting to have a space where people could perform and I'd rather say improvise than jam, because it's not really a jam, because it's about that same type of listening that is a complete listening where you're fully open to what's happening and you're receptive and you're not about your own path. It's like all the runners are running on the track all at the same time, all in their own lane, but they know where everyone else is. And it's like we're all running on that same track again and again, right? We're doing the 400 again and again and again. And some are a little bit ahead, some are a little bit behind, but we're all together. Hmm. And no one is veering off so much that they don't know what the other person is doing. You know, so I think for him, he knew so many artists. So it's like, let's all work together. And also it's about things like us just hanging out at that time and jamming at people's places, you know, till 4 a.m. Let's take this energy and bring it somewhere else, and knowing people who are about to open a cafe, a Sabla cafe at the time. And, you know, he had this idea and they had a venue, so they put the two together, you know, and then the rest just kind of grew from there.
Maybe we can take a minute to talk about the couple of upcoming shows at Community Vibe. Tonight there's a New Orleans theme.
Yeah, we're doing a Mardi Gras show, so we've been rehearsing and preparing some New Orleans funk in the Mardi Gras tradition, so things like the Meters, Lee Dorsey, things like that you're going to see. So I'm excited. I think it's going to be really good. And, you know, we improvise a lot. Sometimes it's good to just do some research and, you know, prepare something. You know, I mean, the spirit will still be open because you have to be open. But we have a set list and we have some great songs. It sounded really good in rehearsal on Sunday. And that's what it's going to be. So I think if you haven't been in a while, tonight is a good time to come out. Tonight or next week. Next week as well, we're having kind of a community / February joint show. So February is kind of a movement, initiative that's put on by two artists, local artists, Xavier and Becca. And basically to promote natural hair and in the Black community, and just an awareness of pride in oneself, what that means to have natural hair and not be ashamed of how you were made, and having a sense of your own beauty. So we're going to do a community / February Fro Unity show talking about these issues and why they're important, why beauty is important for everyone.
And then you're also performing this Thursday night at the Howl Collective show, along with, here, I'm just trying to like look at this website, Norsola Johnson's playing, and Nick Kupfer. Nick Kupfer is going to be playing solo guitar, and Norsola Johnson, I'm not sure what she's going to be playing. She's a solo cellist, so I guess she'll be playing cello. And that's coming up at L'Envers, which is at 185 Van Horn, just east of Park Avenue, bus number 80. And I guess the show starts at
I think it's 9.
9, okay. Okay, so that's on Thursday. So you got a busy week, I guess.
I do. It's a busy month. February is a busy month, but you have to roll with it. You know, I like this time of year, you know, because the other thing is February, you're so busy, it goes so fast. And by the time you know it, it's over and spring is almost here. So, you know, I think there's a lot of good stuff happening and people need to come out and check it out, because there's a lot of talent in Montreal. We need to appreciate it.
Okay, and we're gonna close with a track from the Community Vibe Collective, recorded live at Sablo Cafe. Thanks a lot for coming on.
You're welcome.